Well, good morning, everyone, and thank all of you for being here on this rather cold, rainy morning. We do have a very good crowd despite the weather, and we thank you for being here. We do have some visitors, and we thank them for being here. I do ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. As always, I never want you to take my word, only the word of God. Now, a few years ago, I read of an article that the USA Network aired, and it's called Willie Nelson and Friends Live and Kicking. It's a birthday concert tribute to the 70-year-old country music singer. Notable guests include Eric Clapton, John Mellencamp, Shania Twain, Paul Simon, Sheryl Crow, and numerous others. Among the musicians who performed was Steven Tyler. Steven Tyler is the lead singer of the rock band Aerosmith. Now, Tyler paid tribute to Willie Nelson with these startling words, and I quote, "Here's to the love of his voice, and in his song, the words would say, and here's to hell. May we have as much fun there as we had getting there. Here's to you, Willie. Happy birthday, man." These are the words of Willie Nelson's song, "And here's to hell, may we have as much fun there as we had getting there." Now, after making such a blasphemous statement, the concert should have been more appropriately named Willie Nelson and Friends Live and Kicking Against the Goads. You may remember that Jesus rebuked Saul for kicking against the goads. Turn with me to Acts the 9th chapter and verse 5. Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now look at Acts 26 and verse 14, if you would. Acts 26 and verse 14. "And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" Now, a goad is a sharp tool used by a farmer to prod his animals in the way that they should go. It would be foolish for any animal to repeatedly hurt himself going against his master's sharp goad. So while Jesus was goading Saul to take the right path, Saul was doing hurting himself by kicking against that God's will. So Saul wisely did obey the gospel and stopped his kicking, his goad kicking, as seen in Acts 22 and verse 16 when he said, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Paul was baptized, and of course we know the rest of that story. But unlike Saul, Steven Tyler's word proved that he is determined to continue kicking against the goads, even if it sends him to hell. So let's investigate the fallacies of this singer's tribute. First of all, hell is not a place of love. Steven Tyler honors Willie for the love of his voice and in his song, but in his very next breath he praises Willie for living a life worthy of going to hell. So how is that a compliment? There's no doubt that Willie Nelson and Steven Tyler have both expressed and experienced worldly love in their lives, but true love does not seek to rebel against God to such an extent that you then revel in the idea of being eternally cast out of His presence to the lake of fire and brimstone. Look at Revelation, the 14th chapter with me, and verse 10. Revelation 14 and verse 10, "He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Now look at chapter 21 and verse 8. "But but cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So true love obeys the love of God, as Jesus said in John 14:15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's true love. True love does not sing about profanity. It doesn't sing about marijuana. It doesn't sing about brawling or drunkenness or fornication. No one who practices true love would enjoy going to hell, and he certainly could not have fun staying there. And again, hell is no place to honor. In the middle of the honoring of Willie Nelson, Tyler pays tribute to his future home of eternal punishment by saying, "Here's to hell." As if to say, I'm glad hell exists. Let's all raise our glass to hell, he says. What a wonderful place. But brethren and friends, hell is a dreadful place. It's a place of shame and not honor. There's nothing to celebrate about going to a place reserved for all the souls who rejected the sacrifice and gospel of a loving Savior who was brutally crucified on their behalf. Look at 2 Thessalonians with me, chapter 1, if you would. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 8, Paul said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's going to happen, Paul? Well, listen now. Verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. My friends, hell is no place to look forward to. It is no place to look forward to. Steven Tyler spoke of looking forward of going to hell, and when he said, may we have as much fun there as we had getting there. Sure, Willie and Stephen may have fun getting there, but Jesus warned in Matthew 16 and verse 26, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now you may enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, but understand that the wages of sin are eternal death, as Paul so plainly stated in Romans 6 and verse 23 when he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Steven Tyler longingly spoke as if he couldn't wait to get there. He couldn't wait to get there, as if it were a place where he could live happily ever after. We know that the rich man lived in a life of taunt of hell. But once he woke up in torment, he did everything he could to get out. But by then, it was sadly too late. Let's look at that story. Look at Luke, the 16th chapter with me. Luke, the 16th chapter. Starting in verse 23. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in the bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. So here you have a voice here speaking to you in the Scriptures from beyond the grave. One who died in sin and he woke up in eternal torment and he's desperately pleading with you to do everything you can to avoid hell and not to look forward to it. Jesus said you should be so determined to avoid hell that doing the unthinkable of even cutting off your hand or plucking out your eye would be much better than going to hell. Turn to Mark the 9th chapter. Now Jesus is speaking here, and this is what he says beginning in verse 42. But whoever causes one of these ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell. In the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Going to hell is nothing to be proud about. Going to hell is nothing to be proud about. Now, Tyler's experience, or expression, is as if he and Willie have all really accomplished something remarkable. Like they set a goal. Maybe they worked hard all their lives, and now they're almost there. They're going to hell. This 70-year-old birthday party was a celebration of Willie's life, and the best thing that Tyler could say about Nelson was, "Congratulations, man. You've lived a life worthy of going to hell." Now, selling millions of records and winning Grammys and making millions of dollars and attaining worldwide fame is quite an accomplishment for anyone. But losing your soul for eternity is nothing to be proud of. Remember Matthew 16 and verse 26, and Jesus said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" But brethren, think about this. In contrast, angels awaited the righteous Lazarus to carry him into the paradise in Luke 16 and verse 22. Jesus stands ready to welcome souls with a well done, good and faithful servant entering into the joy of the Lord in Matthew 25 and verse 23. But my friends, no such congratulatory words await those who enter into the gates of hell. Jesus said in Matthew 7:23, "Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Hell is not going to be a party for sinners. Tyler's birthday wish for Willie Nelson was to see him in hell so they could keep having fun together. Now just think about that for a second. His wish for Willie was to see him in hell so that they could keep having fun together in hell. Steven Tyler's birthday wish was for Willie Nelson to go to hell. Some have said they don't want to go to heaven because they'd rather go to hell. That's where all their friends are going to be. You've heard that statement. People joke and say if they go to hell, it won't be so bad because they'll have lots of company. No amount of company will comfort the soul in hell. They say, "Well, if we go to hell, we'll all be together like one big happy family." But that's not how the rich man felt after he died and woke up in eternal punishment, is it? Let's go back to Luke, the 16th chapter. And read verses 27 through 31. Verse 27, "Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So upon finding himself in torment, he urgently pleaded with Abraham to send someone to warn his beloved brothers so they wouldn't follow him to hell. He didn't take consolation in thinking, well, I can't wait for my brothers to get here so we can have some fun, did he? No, sir. He didn't say that. He did not say that. The rich man wasn't having fun, and he didn't wish for his brothers to come to this terrible place to be with him. I don't know what Steven Tyler thinks hell will be like, or I don't even know if he believes that hell really exists. But God's word vividly and clearly warns that hell does exist and will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth in Matthew 25:30. It will be a place of torment in Revelation 14:11. It will be a place of outer darkness, Matthew 25:30. It will be a place of no rest day or night, Revelation 14:11. It will be a place of everlasting destruction, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. It will be a place of unquenchable fire, Luke 3:17, and a place where the worm does not die, Mark 9:44. And there will be no fun to be had in hell. Now the proud will not survive hell. The proud will not survive hell. Finally, it is almost as if Tyler was daring God to punish him. As if to say, God, we know we have sinned and we have rebelled against you, but we have enjoyed every bit of it. Oh, you say you're going to send us to hell. We don't care. And you know what, God? We're going to enjoy it there anyway. We're going to enjoy being there. Every knee shall bow, yours, mine, and even Steven Tyler's. Look with me at Romans 14:11. Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. What will he then think of all the fun that he had getting there, that he had getting to hell? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So I ask you, is your life a tribute to hell? Well, you probably never dream of making such a blasphemous statement. Do you live in harmony with Tyler's words? You may never pay tribute in hell in the words or express the desire to go there. But when you sin, you know what you're doing? You're raising your glass to the devil. By your actions, you're saying, here's to hell. You're daring God to punish you. And you're thinking of ways that you can get away with it. When you procrastinate obeying the gospel, you're saying, here's to hell. When you continue in sin, you're saying, here's to hell. When you teach false doctrine or defend those who do teach it, you're saying, here's to hell. When you give into lasciviousness and practice sexual immorality, you're saying, here's to hell. When you lie and you gossip and you cheat and you steal, you're saying, here's to hell. And if you want to continue in sin, just be honest about it. Lift up your beer and go ahead and say, here's to hell. Now the preacher said in Ecclesiastes 11:9, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Understand that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it's good or bad. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10. But the good news is that though we all deserve to go to hell for our sins, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, Romans 6:23, and that eternal salvation is given to all who obey him. Hebrews 5:9. Turn to one last passage, to Colossians 3. So rather than living a life in tribute to hell, let's live in view of heaven. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, love, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. So my friends and brethren, rather than kicking against the goads, let God prod you back onto the road that leads to eternal life. And Satan will lie to you. Jesus said, listen to what Jesus said about some of the lies of Satan. Let's turn to John chapter 8 and read verse 44. Listen to these lies of Satan. John 8 and verse 44, our Lord Jesus said, you are the father of the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is a liar. He has lied to man since the very beginning in the garden in Genesis 3. He has not changed, and Satan continues to fill our minds with lies. Now I want to consider just some of the lies that Satan puts into our minds. And one of them is, I had plenty of time to change. I've got plenty of time to change. Auditoriums are full of people on Sunday mornings who believe the lie that they can reject the gospel call because they will always have time to change. But remember what James said in James 4:14? You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are in a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. Life is just like that. It's a mist. It's gone. The fact is, none of us know when we're going to face death. So why not seize the opportunity when it presents itself and change into what God will have you to be? Another lie that Satan puts in our minds is, I don't have much time. Boy, the devil sure loves us to believe this lie. If we can convince ourselves that we don't have enough hours in the day, it will be easy for us to excuse ourselves from all our responsibilities. We say, I'll share the gospel with my neighbors when I have time. Or, I'm so busy at the office, I don't have time to teach a Bible class or maybe even help in a VBS. The truth is, we have time to do what we want, don't we? We make time for golf, we make time for shop, we make time for fish, we make time for Facebook and so on. It's really an issue of priorities. We all have the same amount of hours in the day. The ones who find time to work for the Lord have their priorities in order. Another lie that Satan puts in our mind is this. No one will ever know. No one can know. This is a lie that many Christians believe. Take the internet, for example. We convinced ourselves that we're anonymous behind our computer screen. No one will know about the gambling online. No one will know if I look at pornographic images. No one will know if I've been communicating with someone of the opposite sex. What a lie. But you know what the Bible says? Be sure your sins will find you out. Even if no one knows, you can be sure of one thing, brethren and friends. God knows. You cannot hide from God. Another lie that Satan puts in our minds is, God made me this way. People say this about homosexuality, alcohol, and anger, and so on. However, the Bible says God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. That's Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made man with a capacity to choose and to win, and when sin, we make it a choice to sin. When we sin, it is our choice. This is a lie to soothe the conscience of someone who does not want to change. What God wants is for everyone to change. You remember some of the Corinthian brethren were homosexuals, they were adulterers, they were thieves, they were drunkards, and so on. However, they recognized their sins, and they changed. and Satan encourages us with this lie. I can ask forgiveness later. I can do what I want, but I can ask for forgiveness and everything will be all right. This is an abuse and misuse of grace. This is exactly what Paul condemns in Romans, the 5th chapter. If we plan to sin, planning on grace and forgiveness when we repent, well, do we really repent? Are we really sorry for what we did? Are we? So, my dear friends, please, please, don't listen to the lies of Satan. If you're not a Christian, take advantage of it this opportunity, this morning. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is. And then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And you'll rise out of that watery grave, a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. Maybe you've been an unfaithful Christian. Maybe you've sinned in a manner that others are aware of. Maybe you've sinned in a public manner. Or you haven't been coming to church as you should. Take advantage of this opportunity this morning. Pray to God to forgive you. Then come forward and let the brethren know here that you have repented. And let us pray with you and pray for you. If we can help anyone here this morning make their life right with God, come now as we stand and as we sing.